Many people in the world today are feeling under intense pressure to go woke. As a nation and as individuals, we're being bombarded with messages on all sides by the media, politicians, political parties, businesses, advertisers, friends, and family to get with the times and accept homosexuality, transgenderism, and gay marriage, which is a biblical oxymoron if there ever was one. We're told to quit being fuddy-duddies and to hop on board the train of woke progress. Well, I, for one, don't feel the pressure or temptation to go woke. I don't feel moved by the pressure to succumb to or comply with the woke agenda. I don't debate with myself or anyone else whether I should buy what the woke crowd is selling, because for me, it is an agenda that is manifestly anti-man, anti-woman, anti-God, and profoundly contrary to the Word of God. Homosexuality, transgenderism, gay marriage, each one is a manifestation of fallen man's pursuit of independence from God, a manifestation of rebellion and rejection of God's will for male and female, for sexuality, and for marriage. So why would I, as a Christian, want to bow to the pressures of a perverse and godless movement that wants me to turn my back on the Word of God and renounce and reject the God who created, saved, and called me to belong to Him and to be His witness in the world? What possible gain could there be for me in that, except for the approval and accolades of people who have turned their back on the Word of God and renounced and rejected the God who created them, and to whom, like me, they must one day give account? Why would I want to jump ship from the side of light to the side of darkness, where there is nothing to gain and everything to lose? As pastors in the North American Lutheran Church, both Pastor Bill and I stand for and stand on what the common confession of the NALC says, first concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We are people who believe and confess our faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We trust and believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Then concerning the authority of Scripture, we believe and confess that the Bible is God's revealed word to us, spoken in law and gospel. The Bible is the final authority for us in all matters of faith and life. And concerning marriage and family, we believe and confess that the marriage of male and female is an institution created and blessed by God. From marriage, God forms families to serve as the building blocks of all human civilization and community. We teach and practice that sexual activity belongs exclusively within the biblical boundaries of a faithful marriage between one man and one woman. So no, neither Pastor Bill or I are feeling pressure to relinquish nor have any inclination to forsake the positions that we hold true, to be true concerning Jesus Christ, concerning the Bible, and concerning sexuality and marriage. Though we do feel the urgency to preach and teach the truth concerning Christ, concerning the Bible, and concerning sexuality and marriage to a woke generation, each truth being defined, determined, established, and ratified for all time, for all mankind, by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Sadly, there are pastors, denominations, and Christians who have succumbed to the pressure to get on board the woke train, and many have done so because they are convinced it is God's will that they climb aboard. Even though the train has jumped the tracks of the Orthodox Christian faith and teachings. But they are not my responsibility. You are. And so what we preach and teach at Oasis Church must be in accord with the Word of God, lest we be rightly accused of dereliction of duty by violating our ordination vows to preach and teach according to the preaching and teaching of the Bible. God forbid. Far better to be falsely accused of being homophobic, transphobic, and a hater than to hate God so as to deny God by withholding from homosexuals and transgendered people and anyone else, everyone else, the truth of God's word. The truth that, yes, you are free to do whatever you want, but you can't do whatever you want and please God. You too are free to do whatever you want, but you can't do whatever you want and please God if what you want and what you do is opposed to His will as revealed in His Word. There's absolutely nothing to be gained and absolutely everything to lose when you do, even to risk losing one's own soul. St. Augustine said, "Love God and do whatever you please, for the soul trained in love to God will do nothing to offend the one who is beloved." In other words, the person who is trained to love God will not do anything that offends God. What offends God, He's made clear in His Word, most clearly and concisely in the Ten Commandments. His blueprint for how people are to live according to His will. It's a will people are free to reject, and most have, or to receive and accept, as some have. So if you want to please God, if you want to live a life worthy of God, then you will turn to His Word and call on the Holy Spirit to help you obey it. That's what fuddy-duddy Christians do. They don't rely on themselves to figure out what God wants from them or for them, but they look to the Bible for direction and call on the Holy Spirit to help them live according to it, which is a very fuddy-duddy thing to do in a day and age like ours, where, as Judges 21:25 says, every man does that which is right in his own eyes, rather than in God's eyes. Martin Luther offers this word of warning. You should not believe your conscience and your feelings more than the word which the Lord who receives sinners preaches to you. Isn't that the very reason we find ourselves swimming against the tide in the woke waters in which we find ourselves today? Is it not because so many people, churches, pastors, and denominations believe their conscience and their feelings more than the Word of God? They're free to do so. And so are you. You're free to make whatever decisions and choices you wish, whether they are in alignment with or contrary to God's will and Word. We are not responsible for what you do. But because Pastor Bill and I are responsible to you before God, we must preach and teach in alignment with and not contrary to His Word. One day you will give an account to God for what you have believed, for how you have lived, and on what you've taken your stand in the world. To help prepare you for that day, the sermons from this pulpit are not just about taking a stand, but about the stand you will take. They're to help make sure that where you take your stand, where you draw your line in the sand, is on the Word of God. The Word of God concerning Jesus Christ, the Word of God concerning the Bible, the Word of God concerning sexuality and marriage. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, when he was called upon to recant his teachings, Martin Luther said, "My conscience is captive to the Word of God." Is your conscience captive to the Word of God? Is it captive to and reflective of what God commands you to believe and do concerning Jesus Christ as his only begotten Son and the only Lord and Savior of mankind? Is your conscience captive to and reflective of what God commands you to believe and do concerning the Holy Bible as the final authority for your faith in life? Is your conscience captive to and reflective of what God commands you to believe and do concerning marriage as an institution created and blessed by God? And that sexual activity belongs exclusively within the biblical boundaries of a faithful marriage between one man and one woman. This is what the Bible teaches. This is what Bill and I believe and preach and teach as pastors. And this is what the North American Lutheran Church believes, preaches, and teaches. On the truths of his sacred word, you can take your stand without fear of contradiction. Yes, you will meet resistance, maybe even hostility. But far better to be awake than woke when it comes to taking your stand on the truth of God's word. Dr. William Childs Robinson states, "Sin is stepping across one of God's commandments." Whenever we step across one of God's commandments, we are in grave peril. Whenever we lead someone else to step across one of God's commandments, they are in grave peril. But we even more so, as Jesus said in Luke 17, 1 and 2, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. We must not only watch ourselves lest we lead someone to sin by our deeds, but lest we lead them into sin by our words, including words that we fail to speak when there's a need to take a public stand on God's word. Words we fail to speak when we choose not to go against the tide of cancel culture, but choose to go along, to get along when Christian courage is called for instead. To love your neighbor as yourself begins with loving God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It means taking your stand on the truth that sets men free by calling a sin, and by warning others that the wages of sin is death. To love your neighbor as yourself means sharing the good news of Christ with boldness. The good news of the forgiveness of sins through faith in his name. It means sharing the truth of Galatians 5, 19 through 21, which says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." It means sharing the truth of Hebrews 13, 4, which says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral." Ignoring these verses means we must reject not only the biblical norms of moral behavior, but the right of God to establish the boundaries and to set the parameters for what we do as men and women created in His image. And thus, it is to reject God as the supreme authority in and over our life. God forbid. Is it transphobic or homophobic to warn those on board the woke train of the spiritual danger of doing what is contrary to God's revealed will concerning male and female and marriage and sexual behavior? No. It is not transphobic or homophobic. It is hellphobic. And because as Christians we have a healthy fear of hell and don't want anyone to spend eternity enduring its torment, we tell others the truth of 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, which says, "Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy or drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And that is what some of you were. "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Did you catch that? Such were some of you, Paul says to the Corinthian Christians. Well, such were all of us, each of us being in bondage to sin and unable to free ourselves. But because someone loved us enough to tell us the truth about sin, death, and hell, and loved us enough to tell us about the Savior who died for us, we came to believe on His name and were washed, sanctified, and justified by the Spirit of God. How can we not share this soul-cleansing, soul-saving good news with others? Not only those who know that their sin is sin, but also with those who don't know or think their sin is sin. As Christians in a woke world, we are to be the wake-up call, bringing the message of God's love and truth to a generation in desperate need of God's love and truth. People are free to take it or leave it. They're free to keep doing whatever they want. But if you love God, take your stand with God. You will be despised, mocked, and hated for the very things for which people despised, mocked, and hated Jesus Christ. But stand your ground. You will not be proven wrong, but vindicated if your convictions about Christ, the Bible, marriage, sex, and gender are His. And if that makes you a fuddy-duddy, so be it. As for me, I'd rather be a fuddy-duddy for Christ than riding on a train the devil is driving. Wouldn't you? Amen.